Amen. Well, he is the way maker, and I'm excited to think about God's provision and something that we all need and want to celebrate during this season. It is that time of year. If you haven't noticed, our Christmas tree is up, and excited to transition to Christmas season. I know some of you hopefully had a great Thanksgiving, but I know this time of year is not always joyous for everyone, so I don't want to assume that. Many of you had a great time of rest, relaxation, time with family, you travel, those kind of things. But it's also sometimes a time of heartache, missing loved ones for the first time. Maybe this time of year reminds you of something that might be sad in your life. And so we recognize those emotions, and good thing is we can bring everything with us here. And so regardless if this is like your favorite season of the year and you're Buddy the Elf, I mean, there are some of you here, then we're glad you're here. Or maybe not Scrooge, but maybe you're in a place of disappointment. We're glad you're here. The point is that we're community together, and so I'm excited about that. Some of you, you know, probably already started celebrating and decorating for Christmas right after Halloween. Some of you might not have any decor up yet. That's okay. We are going to celebrate Christmas, though, here at City View, and I'm excited about what that's going to look like. So every year we start with an Advent series, and we'll get into that later, what that means and what Advent is, and even as we wait for Christmas, what that might look like here as we celebrate. I just want to ask you a question, though, as we get started. Have you ever had to wait a long time for something? Now, most of us in the room are relatively young, and so, like, you think a long time, and it was like, okay, but that happened when I was 22. And then some of you like, no, I've literally waited 22 years for something. And so, like, time is a little more relative there. So I understand we get across the spectrum, but I want you to think about a time you had to wait for something for a really long time. Whatever long felt like to you. It could have been days, months, years, decades, but you had to wait a really long time. Maybe something that you had to wait for, but it was actually worth it. Like you waited a really long time and it was like, oh man, I'm glad I got this thing. Like kind of in light of Christmas or this job or this opportunity. Or for some of you, maybe it's like you waited to find out you got into your dream school or you took an alternate path and now you're where God wants you. You got this dream job or you got a job. Or for some of you, it's not like it's not just a spouse, like you got a date. And it's like, God, I know you're real because someone finally said yes. Jehovah Jireh, yes, he provides, I understand. All right, but we've had to wait for some of those things before. For me, I think about, Danielle and I got married at 22, and I felt like I had to, you know, wait forever. We got married like super young, looking back, but I waited for our spouse. I didn't date around a lot and those kind of things. It was kind of uncommon then, just like it would be now. And so I waited, of course, it was worth it. For our kids, you know, like when you get pregnant, that's the longest 9 months. I mean, it flies by, but like, especially your first child, it's like, oh my goodness, this day will never come. And now, you know, Kate's almost 10. So you think about those kind of things, like, you know, waiting for those big moments. You know, I remember buying our first home and, you know, have the apartment life versus getting out or clarity on a job. There's just been different times we've waited on the Lord and we've seen his provision and how he opens up, you know, exactly the right door at the right time. I think there's probably instances you can think of in your life when that's probably been true. Maybe right now you're in that season of waiting. A lot of times, though, when you save up or you work hard or you go through that season of whatever it takes to, whether that's getting a job or something about a relationship, whatever that thing could be, whatever that it is, it can be so gratifying when you've had to wait. Like, it makes you appreciate it. I think none of us really like to wait. Like, I would think you're strange if you enjoy waiting, right? Like, a waiting room at the doctor's office is, like, one of my least favorite places to be. Especially with kids. You know, like waiting room sometimes on my own, I'm like, I can take a good book and be uninterrupted for a couple hours. But like, you wait for 2 hours in a doctor's office lobby with one or more children, and I'm ready for Jesus to come back. You know, so like, we don't like waiting, probably. Okay, if you do, we'll talk later. But we don't like waiting, but so often waiting makes us appreciate whatever it is, that thing that we're waiting for, when that comes through, you appreciate that thing so much more. Because you knew what it took to work to get into this school or to get this job or, you know, to build this relationship or whatever that thing may be, you appreciate the journey, and you're like, man, I'm so grateful that I had to wait for this because I'm more appreciative now. And that's really what the Christmas season is all about. It's all about waiting. Think about, like, as children, now we have kids, and we kind of reinsert ourselves and see Christmas through their eyes. But for those of you that don't have kids, maybe think back to what it was like when you were just a child. And, like, Christmas season is so exciting. You might have, we tore something off our door every day, or you had some kind of countdown, or we do these devotionals and put these little ornaments on a tree, and it's like you're counting down the days, or you're counting up, however you do that, and you're building to this day, and you get excited, and Christmas season comes, but it's really all about waiting. In fact, some of you are like so into Christmas, like January 1, you're already like, I'm waiting for Christmas next year. Like, it's just this perpetual waiting that we're in. And I think it's a great picture of the Christian life, this season of waiting. Waiting on the Lord is very common in the life of a Christ follower, because we so often want to get ahead of God, or are waiting for something, or an answer, or it's provision, or an open door, whatever that may be. But it's one of the hardest things to do. And it seems to never end. Like, think about just even the journey of the spectrum of the people we have in this room. You're like, you're finishing school and you start thinking about college. And it's like, okay, you start thinking about where are you going to go to school? Okay, great. Now, what are you going to major in? And then, okay, now you start a major. Do you have an internship? Okay, now where are you going to get a job? And what city are you going to live in? Have you met someone yet? Like, if you just went home for Thanksgiving and came back, you got this, all these questions. Have you met someone yet? Or how serious are you guys? Like, when are you going to get married? Are you going to start having kids at that point? Or, like, have you thought about retirement? Are you going to live in that city forever? And you're like, hey, I'm a freshman. I don't even know. Like, honestly, I'm not even sure when my finals are, okay? Like, some of you are getting back. Like, I just hope I come back in January. Like, but you feel that when you graduate, you get a job. Where are you going to live? Are you guys going to rent for a while? Are you going to put down roots? Where are you going to start having kids? Where are you going to send your kids to school? What are you going to do when they graduate? When are you going to retire? Like, there's always this season of waiting for this next thing. And part of that's just the journey of following Jesus, leaning into his provision and trusting God, this perpetual having to rely upon God. But it always feels like we're in a season of waiting. I think we just have to learn to embrace these seasons. Some are probably more focused seasons of waiting than others. And we must embrace those seasons and allow God to mold us in those times of waiting. You've been in those transition periods before. So tonight, we'll begin introducing like our theme and thinking about Christmas. But I also want to make sure that we acknowledge what type of season we're in as a church, and what type of season you might be in personally. Like, as we were preparing, and Seth and I were thinking about this series and just the waiting and the preparation, and tonight being kind of introductory into the Advent, the next few weeks that will come, maybe thinking about where we're at as a church body, because this isn't like literally physically here at Rome where we're going to be forever. We've been in a season of waiting since we launched. Like, God, where's our permanent home, or even at least our next stop going to be? And that's the journey of a church planting. Like, we don't want to be here at 5 o'clock forever. And so we know at some point God's going to lead us to step out in faith to a new space, and we're waiting for him to open that door. So I sense that for us. And many of you, just because I know you, we talk and know where you're at in life, you're waiting for an answer, for a thing, or for a person, for some situation, for some kind of resolution. But if we're not careful when we find ourselves in these seasons of waiting corporately or individually, you will just grind out that wait. You'll just endure it. And you'll miss what God wants to do in and through you during that season. So for us, as we think about Christmas, I want us to lean in and ask ourselves this question. God, what do you want to do in me during this season? While I'm waiting, and you're in this point of tension, and you're waiting for the resolution, then you're asking God, what are you trying to form in me during this season of waiting? Because the goal is often not what's at the end of that waiting. The goal often is what God is doing in you during that season. And I think that's what he's doing for us as a church family. Maybe we're not ready for the next step because there's still something he wants to do in us to prepare us for what's in front of us. And that's kind of the backdrop I want us to think about, not just tonight, but for throughout the Christmas season. Let's work hard to wait well together. So the title of tonight's message is just preparation. We're going to think about preparation. For each of these Sundays during this Christmas series, we'll have just a one-word theme that we focus on. For the next 4 Sundays, those one-word themes will be around the different kind of focus of Advent. And that's just that countdown, that's that preparation, that's the waiting for the coming of Christ, for this celebration of the first or longing for the second coming of Jesus. And so we'll think about hope, joy, love, peace. We'll focus on those themes through the lens of Christmas. But tonight is kind of the backdrop for all of its preparation. We're going to be in the book of Isaiah. You can go ahead and turn there if you have a copy of God's Word. We'll also have it on the screen as we go there. And in Isaiah, we're going to look at just a few verses and think about what waiting and preparation looks like. And here's the big idea I want you to walk away with tonight is to understand this. God uses seasons of waiting to form us into his image. There is a purpose in our waiting. There is a purpose in these transitional times. And if we're not careful, we'll miss the point of what God's trying to do in us because we're so focused on the next step. So we want to see these seasons of waiting as a chance to be conformed to the image of Christ. I'm going to read these few verses in Isaiah, and then I'm going to pray for it. So Isaiah 40, I'm just going to read verses 28 through 31. It says, "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the whole earth. He never becomes faint or weary. There is no limit to his understanding. He gives strength to the faint, and he strengthens the powerless. Youths may become faint and weary, and young men may stumble and fall. But those who trust in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not become weary. They will walk and not faint." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the promises of your word. This is a great reminder about your character, your strength, your poise, and who you are. And because of what Christ has done on the cross, we can share in those same things. We can receive your strength. We can find help in a time of need. So tonight, help us to learn how to do that. Help us to think about using seasons of waiting and preparation well. Or to allow us to be open-handed and say, God, do in my heart what you want to do in me. Mold me into the image of Jesus. Lord, think about that as a church family, as we're waiting for next steps and provision and guidance. Help us to lean into your character, to lean into the Spirit and allow you to shape us, even sometimes when it's painful. Lord, chisel away in us what you want gone. Magnify your Son now in this time. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we think about waiting, I want us to think about Advent. I want us to think about this season and just kind of a backdrop of what Advent means and where we're going. And that's really what Advent is all about. And so let me explain just a couple things, if that's a new term for you. Advent season, it's a time of expectant waiting and preparation for both the celebration of the birth of Christ at Christmas and the return of Christ at his second coming. So when we talk about Advent, we're talking about a focused time of preparation and waiting. We're preparing our hearts. We're preparing our minds. We're thinking about all the necessary things, even physically, that have to be done to welcome someone like Jesus into the world. So it's an Advent. It's a preparation. It's a looking forward to the coming of Christ. Both, though, his first coming, his birth, and also the second coming when he returns and makes all things right. So when you think about that, that means the Advent season is all about reflecting on how we can prepare our hearts for Christ. So we're reflecting on how we can prepare our hearts for Jesus. Maybe prepare him room. That's literally what we're doing. We are reflecting on how we can prepare our hearts to celebrate this season well. It's an intentional time we set aside to make sure we don't just take for granted the birth of Jesus and what his life means and how altering that is for us. Now, the Advent season is part of the official church calendar. This comes from the early church. We don't follow the church calendar as closely as some denominations do. Some people follow it to a T, and they might even have guided readings, and they kind of have within like two or three different chapters, like, here's three options you can preach this Sunday. We don't fall in line with like that type of a denomination like structure. But there are a couple of parts of the church calendar that we align with, which would be Advent and Christmas season, and then Palm Sunday and Easter. Most people celebrate those things if you're an evangelical church. So for us, we don't talk a lot about the church calendar, but Advent literally is always in the calendar. It's like the beginning, it's a new season. It's the four Sundays before Christmas Day. So this year, that's the four Sundays of December, even the fourth being Christmas Eve, because Christmas Day is going to be on that Monday. So those four Sundays of Advent, we're going to have just a visual representation. Some people do more with this, but what we do is we just light a candle each week, and we'll remind you of the theme. And so as we build toward Christmas Day, this will be a visual representation of what's happening. Like these things are kind of burning down. God's preparing our heart. The countdown is on, and we're getting closer. And then we actually light that center candle at the end of the Christmas Eve. Like it'll be a combo morning service for us this year just because of the timing that is. It's going to be here on a Sunday morning on Christmas Eve at 10 a.m. And the end of that, we'll have all four lit, and then we'll light the last one together in a candlelight, kind of like it's like the time is here. It's now. He's here. And that's what Advent will look like for us over these next few weeks. We'll focus on a theme each week and all of that under this overarching theme of this preparation of Advent seasons. We light the candles and just visual picture of what we want God to do in and through us. Just a good reminder. So tonight, as we think about the beginning of Advent season and all that it represents, kind of figuratively what we're talking about here, I want us to consider how God is forming us individually and corporately. What is God doing in us? How is God molding us to look more like Christ? It's just what I want us to think about. Many of you, I think personally, as we mentioned, even as a church, we know we're in a season of waiting. So we want to answer this question tonight. What do you do when you find yourself in a season of waiting? That's really what we're thinking about tonight, but really this whole Christmas season. As we think about the coming of Christ and looking ahead, saying, God, what are you trying to do in me these next few weeks? God, is there something you're trying to produce in my heart? Is there something you want to remove? How do you have your way with me, Lord? So what do you do when you find yourself in a season of waiting? And I think there's many of us, when you find yourselves in this type of season, you think to yourself, how can I just grind this out? Like, okay, I got 3 weeks left in the semester. Okay, good, that means I can do this. And some of you do like this. Okay, if I need a 72 in this class, okay, then I've made this. So I need an 83.7 on the final. What's the least amount of work to get the right number of questions for me to get 83.7? All right, I'm good. All right, and it's like, all right, I can make it. I can do that. There's my 3 weeks, and I'm out. Some of you, you like vacations right around the corner. You know, I get a week off between Christmas and New Year's. I've got 17 work projects between now and then. Okay, how much do I have to do, like, per day? Teachers start counting down already. Thanksgiving break, you're like, when's spring break? But it's like, well, there's some other stuff before. So you're counting, you know, we're starting to think, and we're grinding it out. Just like, what do I have to do just to get this thing gone? To be done with this season, I think is sometimes how we think about it. It's like, how much pain can I endure? Like, what can I really tolerate? If I just want to get through a season, like, what will it take? How many treatments are needed? All right, I'll do the 7 treatments, whatever I have to do. All right, you got to write these papers. I'll do these papers. I'll do this. I got to run 8 laps. Okay, I'll run 8 laps. Like, you just think, whatever I got to tolerate, that's what I'll do, and I'll just be done with it. And I can't wait to be done with it. Maybe it's like, how much heartache will this take? Like, oh, I can withstand that. I've been heartbroken before. I can handle it. Like, if that's all it takes, so, some of you, you know, you think about that, like, in your sports fandom, you're like, I can handle that. Like, I can go to this brink. If you tell me there's something on the other side, I can handle that. As Braves fans perpetually, I'm like, 2021 didn't happen, then I would have less tolerance for heartache. But we got a World Series. So it's like, I can endure a few bad years. If you don't pull for, you know, a good team, then I don't really know how those people do it. But you understand the endurance and what you're thinking through. How much pain can I endure? Your focus in each of those seasons, is it 2 more weeks? Is it 8 more projects? Is it 3 more days? Like, whatever it is that you're thinking. Is it the next promotion, the next person, the next big fight? Like, you're working all the way, all you're thinking about is, how can I endure the wait? And that's not the picture that we should have. Because to me, that reminds me of, like, when there's a storm coming, and maybe you've had to do this before, and you had to shelter in place. Maybe you had, like, a safe room in your house, or you had to shelter. Like, I remember in school as an elementary kid, like, this sounds terrible. Go in the hall and put a book over my head. I'm like, I don't feel safe at all, okay? But at this point, all we can do is sit here for 2 hours. I can't even get in that position anymore. But sit here for 2 hours and, like, get up, can't feel my legs. But, man, I had the book over my neck, so I felt real good if that, you know, the storm came through. But that's how a lot of us is like, all right, I'm going to go to my safe space, I'm going to close my eyes, I'm going to cover myself up, and I'm just going to wait for the storm to pass. That's literally how you live. And you wait for this storm to pass, and you're in the fetal position, and you wait till you can't hear anything anymore, and you're like, okay, I think the storm's over. Let me come out and assess the damage. Let me see whatever is left. And it's like, can I live with this? That is not at all the picture that waiting should look like in the life of a Christ follower. Because many of you, like, you run to your shelter, you want your safe space, and you're like, just let this storm pass and I'll come back out. You haven't dealt with anything. God calls us to something more in a season of waiting. It's about preparing and trusting God, allowing Him to use seasons of waiting in our lives to make us more like Christ. So this is how I'd like to say it. Don't just endure the wait, worship in the wait. How do I run to Christ in the wait? How do I say, in this season of waiting, how do I worship? Not just like, hold on, how do I worship in the wait so that the season is not just let it pass? It's no, God, do what you want to do in me. And so I'm going to give us 3 steps tonight, I think, that can help us do that. 3 ways as we look at Isaiah 40, 28 through 31, three ways that I think we can kind of respond when we find ourselves in a season of waiting. Okay, so Isaiah 40 and verse 28, the first step, the first thing we can do, recognize God's power. So if you look at verse 28 again, the question, all right, so Jacob, so Israel, why are you saying in verse 27, my way is hidden from the Lord and my claim is ignored by God? It's like, can I trust him? I don't know what's going on. I can't see what you're doing. And in verse 28 says, don't you know? Haven't you heard? Remember who God is, essentially. The Lord is the everlasting God. Who is he? He's the creator of the whole earth. He never becomes faint or weary, and there's no limit to his understanding. So one of the first things you need to do when you find yourself in one of these seasons, remember who God is. You recognize God's power. Just as we sang, you may not see God working, but don't doubt that he is. One of my favorite quotes of all time, it's not on the screen, but John Piper says, God is always working like 10,000 ways in our life, and we're maybe aware of three of them. He is working in so many different ways that we're just completely unaware of. So you have to recognize that he has the power to do that. Isaiah 40 is a chapter that's all about comforting God's people. So we see all throughout this passage, God as creator, as shepherd, and so much more. You've seen turmoil. You've seen like this promised pursuit of the Old Testament all throughout Isaiah. And this is a beautiful chapter just to remind us who God is and how he takes care of his people. That's really what it's all about. And it builds to this great reminder at the end. It's like, remember who he is. This is comfort for you, that God has the power to change everything. So we've seen the greatness and the glory of God all throughout this book and this chapter. And now we see author Isaiah showing us how we can understand. When you understand this, it makes a difference in your life. Like, it's knowledge that changes something. I don't mean just, some of you have like useless knowledge. You mean like trivia night, I want you on my team. But like in real life, I don't know how that applies. You know what I mean? I'm like, that's super helpful. I love that you can quote every episode of The Office. We can enjoy that together. How does that propel you forward in life? I don't know. All right, this is one of those things where it's like, this is not just this useless random fact. This is truth that changes your life. So beyond what should just be like a response of worship and honor, we should see this as a way that changes our life and our viewpoint. So a way of thinking of it is like this. Those who really believe these truths about God that we just read, those who really believe that Isaiah 40, 28 is true, we should live as if God is really there. And sometimes in seasons of waiting, we live like he's not, and we just kind of wait for him to show up. We have to acknowledge the presence and power of God. That's one of the first things we do during these seasons. So I think seasons of waiting are a great time to look to God and reflect on his power. I think our temptation is to doubt God, to doubt his existence, to doubt his goodness, maybe to doubt his power in these seasons. But we've got to discipline ourselves to trust God instead. So when your flesh wants to doubt God, you discipline yourself, you go to the scripture and remind yourself who God is, and you recognize his power. I think this is a great time to remember what I call the omnis. Just, these are some theological truths about who God is, and I'm not talking about the hotel. All right, so God is omnipotent. That means he's all-powerful. God is omniscient. That means he's all-knowing, and God is omnipresent. That means he's ever-present. He's everywhere. So if you were to put it together, God is all-powerful, all-knowing, and ever-present. That's recognizing who God is. Do you not know? This would be like me speaking to you in your bunker. When I'm trying to tell you to come out and live through the storm and not hide, this would be me saying this to you. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God. He's the creator of the whole earth. He never becomes faint or weary. There's no limit to his understanding. So you see his power, you see his presence, and you see his knowledge right there in verse 28. You trust who God is. And then you have to remember in these seasons that God is not like us. And sometimes it's hard because we project onto him. All right, there are some traits that can be communicable, meaning there are some traits that God has we can share in. Theologically, some of those things can be true about God and about us. The omnis can only be true about God. That's what makes God God and us not. I mean, my kids sometimes maybe think I'm those things, at least for the next couple years. But like, I understand I'm not omnipotent. I do get weak. I get tired, and I have to acknowledge I'm not omniscient. I don't know everything. I don't always know the right thing to do. And some just need to admit that. And I'm not omnipresent. I can't be everywhere. Like, I have to say no to stuff. I have boundaries. And I think we need to remind ourselves of that. Some of you on the other end of the spectrum, and you're like the opposite. You're like, I have no power. I don't know anything, and I can't be anywhere. And then some of us are on the opposite, and we think we can do everything. And we'll see how that temptation, both of those, drives us to Christ. So we got to remember, we're not like God. These are characteristics we can't share, but we can trust in him because he has them. So you recognize God's power. In verse 29, we're going to see that we rely on God's provision. So as I see who he is, what does that mean for me in verse 29? He gives strength to the faint, and he strengthens the powerless. So if you're tired and you don't feel like you have the power, well, you're in the right place because God says, good, come to me. What a great reminder. He gives strength to the faint, and he strengthens the powerless. So what does God do with his power? He doesn't hoard it. He shares it. Now, God hoards his glory because he's the only one worthy of his glory, but he shares his power. He shares his riches with us. Isn't that amazing? That no matter how you feel, no matter where you're at, God right now is waiting to draw you in and say, I've got all the strength you need. If you've ever had like a good workout partner, there are times when like you show up sluggish, there are times when they show up sluggish, and you kind of strengthen each other. And it's like, I always like appreciate if I had a good partner, like, hey, I don't have energy today. Well, good, you can borrow some of mine because we're about to do this workout. That's what this looks like. Lord, I don't have the strength to go on. He says, that's okay. You don't have to because I do. I do have the strength to go on. That's what it looks like to be a part of the body of Christ. You be honest, like City View, I cannot get that through your heads enough. I can't wait for the day one of you shows up and says, I don't know how to take another step, but I'm here. You're like, good, I'm glad you showed up. Let's take a step together. That's what community, that's showing up to City Group and say, I don't know how I can go on in this situation in life, but I'm not going to quit, and I need your help. But we're so full of ourselves, we can't ask for help. We allow pride to consume us, and it's like, no, that's the thing that drives us to the cross. Do you see? That's the thing. The very thing that you need is preventing you from stepping into God's presence in the community. This is what we do. We rely on his strength. Matthew 11:28. Let me just give you three reminders from Scripture, places that tell us what we can do. This is a command. Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. That's not a suggestion. So why should you rely on God's power? Because he told you to. He said, you don't have enough strength? That's okay. I do. I never get tired. I'm never going to be worn out. So come to me when you're weary and you're burdened, and I'm going to give you rest. In 2 Corinthians 12:9, he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is perfected in weakness. Like, I'm not good enough to follow Jesus. Like, no, you missed the point. The only qualification is weakness. What do you need to be a great Christ follower? You need to be able to acknowledge you're weak, and you need to find strength. That's the gospel. The good news is I can admit my weakness and find strength in Christ. In Psalm 55:22, cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken. But what does it look like in our lives? Many of us, we don't come to God. We don't look for his grace because we try to act like we're strong. And instead of casting our burden on the Lord, we carry a burden that we are never meant to carry. And this is, again, this is a weight room illustration because these make sense to me. So try to picture this with me. It's like the 9th grade boy who's come through puberty recently and he's starting to get a little strong. And he's working out with juniors and seniors and he's trying to keep up. And maybe this is a co-ed class, which is a terrible idea. Let's just imagine that happens, okay? And there happens to be a female in the weight room. Guys do stupid stuff to try to impress girls who they probably never have a shot with anyway. Okay, guys, let me just free you up there. Just stop. It's not worth it, okay? Keep your ACL. All right, so he's there. He's getting all this weight. And can you, I mean, this is what it's like. Dude, you're just like keep putting on plates and putting on plates and putting on plates. I'm like, dude, I don't think you can do an air squat right, okay? Much less like 3 plates, you know? And he's wobbling. I mean, if you've ever been in a weight room, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You might be that guy. And you're just, you know, he's just like about to fold under this weight. A good friend would be like, rack the weight, bro. Rack the weight. Step away from the bar. Please stop right now. But he's doing this, and you look at that guy, and everyone knows, you're trying to carry a weight that you're not meant to bear. Like, that burden is too great. Please have the safety racks in place because you're about to bottom out. The only way you're getting a rep is if you go down twice and you count both halves as one. That's the only way, because all you're going to do is when you come off that rack, it's going to bury you. And that's the picture of, like, so many of Christians in life. Please take that with you and use that sometime, okay? But that is the picture of so many. I'm like, dude, you are carrying, like, why are you carrying that load? Your body, your life is not meant to carry the load you're trying to carry. There's like, it would take a lot of us to kind of spread that weight. That's the point of the church. And the reality is we're trying to do this in our strength, and we're not using the community strength, and we're not leaning to the strength of Christ. So yes, I'm not surprised that you're about to snap because of the weight of life's pressures, because you're trying to carry a weight you weren't designed to carry. And that's the season of waiting sometimes is to form in us that dependence on Him, the reliance upon God, the leaning into His character. That's what He's doing in and through us. So let me ask you, are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you at your wit's end? You're not sure where else to turn? Run to Jesus. Like, rest in Christ. There's nowhere else to go. Trust in God's provision. When you don't have any strength left, you remember He's here waiting for you. And I think we've got to do it together. When you can't carry on, lean on somebody else, because there's power in community. And one of the ways that God gives us strength is through His church. And if you've ever been detached from the church for a long time, you've felt that drain in your life. But some of you recently, I've seen you, even you've even said it in different language, when you plug back into the local body, you find strength you forgot was available to you. And some of you, for the very first time, you're like, this is what it looks like to have a brother or sister in Christ pick you up, to give you the hug, to pray over you, or whatever that thing is that you need in the moment. That's what we have to lean into together. That'll only happen if we rely on His provision, if you're leaning into what He's done for you. So you recognize God's power, you rely on His provision, and lastly, you remember His promises. Verse 30 and 31 builds to really the whole point of this passage. The author says, the youths may grow faint and weary, and young men will stumble and fall. But those who trust in the Lord, you see the contrast? Man, young man, we're going to wear out. You're going to have energy out of the gate, but you'll hit a wall. But the contrast, but those who trust in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not become weary. They will walk and not faint. And I want that to be true of me. If you want verse 31, then you've got to lean into trusting Him. You've got to remember His promises, all that the Bible has taught you. The CSB here, which is the translation I preach from, it says trust, but there are many translations that use the word wait. So I'm going to read it that way. The beginning of verse 1 would say, those who wait upon the Lord. Same thing, mean trust in the Lord. What it means here, the word, the way the word wait or trust, however you translate it, the way that it's used in this context means to trust in expectantly. So let me read it like that. So instead of waiting on the Lord, for those who trust expectantly in the Lord is how it's basically being stated. For those who trust in the Lord, for those who wait in the Lord, better way of saying, just a little more wordy, is for those who trust in expectantly. Is that a picture of just enduring? Or is that a picture of hope? Saying, God, I come to you with expectation. Many of us don't have prayers answered because we don't ask. He's a good Father. And for whatever reason, some of you are wired, maybe because like the product of your home or in a workplace or some kind of season in your life, you've been wired not to ask important people big questions. And you project that onto God. And it's like, for whatever reason, maybe it's like, no, don't ask for that. You don't deserve that or whatever. Maybe that's what you've been taught. Well, in Christ, you are an heir to everything He's promised His Son. So it's not selfish to ask God for what He's already promised to give you. So for us, it's the opposite. It's not like you come with this meek little feeble, but like, God, please, you know, it's like the boldness of a child who comes up in here and thinks like, as parents, you can just, they think we're loaded, you know what I mean? They're like, you can bankroll it. Like, you know, just swipe your card right in the hell. It's not exactly that. We can't buy the world that way. Okay, that's not how it works. They think there's an age where they start to understand, think you have unlimited resources. So you get some bold requests at Christmas time. And it's like, no, we can't do that. I'd love to take you to the Super Bowl, okay? That's going to be awesome. But it ain't happening this year, buddy, okay? We can go outside and pass out water, but that's the only way we're getting there, okay? So that boldness, though, that people come before the Lord, like what would that look like if some of you just went before the Lord with that boldness, and because He does have unlimited resources, and say, God, I know You've already promised this. Can You give it to me? He's a good Father. He wants to give you good things. So you remember His promises. You trust expectantly. Because some you ask like, you know, it may, if you want, He's like, God, if You want, you know, if it's in Your will and it's cool with You, then You can give it to me. And it's like, just ask with boldness. And if he gives it to you, great. And if not, you like, you're still going to worship him. But I come before the throne of, this is the entire Hebrews series. You come before the throne of grace in a time of need. Because of the blood of Jesus, I have access to the Father's presence. And I can say, Father, will you give me this? This is what I need. Or this is what my heart desires. This is what I'm asking for. It may not happen how you want. That's the season of waiting. That's the whole point of this refining that he's doing in us. But you can have boldness to ask God for big things because he's already promised to give them to you. This is what this is all about. Unlimited strength, power, and renewal. This verse is really the crux of the entire passage and the backdrop for everything that I've mentioned tonight. So when you wait in the Lord, what do you find? What does it look like? It's not a passive sitting around. Hopefully you start to see that. Waiting on God, when we say trust and expectantly, it doesn't mean that you just sit around until God does something. Like, yes, God is going to give us strength. He's going to empower us. But we don't expect it to come as we're just like, almost like we're just sitting and he's a genie and just kind of flies by and kind of drops in our lap. Some people may have that view of what waiting was. Like, we're just kind of sitting passively and he's just going to pour it over us. That's not how it works. He brings it to us as we seek him, as we rely on him, as we call out to him, as we lean into him instead of our own strength. And if any of you, this is bold, if any of you are weak, it's because you're not waiting on the Lord. So if you find yourself in a season of weakness, it means you're not trusting expectantly in the renewal of Christ. You're not resting in the promises of God. You're trusting in your strength, probably. That's what it means. So I think there are two main temptations here when we hear this kind of teaching. One is just what we've said, is just to kind of sit and wait. When you say wait on the Lord, just means, okay, God, I've tried to open every door and that doesn't work, so I'm just going to sit here and wait on you. And maybe I just sit. And you're like, after 3 minutes, you're like, it's quiet, and like, this is weird. But that's kind of how some of you feel. I'm just going to sit and wait. I'm just going to pretend God's a genie, and he's just going to fly by and, you know, just drops it in my lap and change my life. One day I'm going to go to the mailbox, and I'm going to find a $1 million check. I mean, it's just like, that works in some families, but not most of ours, okay? And that's not what this is about at all. I like to remind people, hope is not a strategy. So if you just sit around and hoping something will change or hope God will do it, it's probably not going to change. You probably need a plan of action. But then the other temptation is the opposite, is to work hard, but in our strength. So we're not relying on the Lord, but we're going to do everything we can. Like, I'm going to work from sun up to sundown. I'm going to grind it out. You're never going to see, you know, it's like, many of you don't get this. You can go YouTube this later, but Tim Tebow lost his game and he's given the speech like, no one will ever work harder. That's kind of like, no one will outwork me. I will do whatever it takes. And it's like, you can do that for a season, but that just leads to burnout. So you can sit around and wait and just like, God, drop this in my lap. Or you're like, I'm going to be the hardest working person in here, but you're doing it in your strength, man, you're going to hit a wall. The tension is, it's kind of a combination of both. And I think the difference is about our heart. And so it is working hard while being constantly renewed in Christ. Because when you wait on the Lord, you find renewal. That's what we see here. When I trust expectantly, when I recognize God's power and I'm leaning into his provision and I'm trusting his promises, I'm being renewed day after day after day because the Spirit of Christ in me has given me the strength to continue. I find renewal as I wait. So that's the energy I need to continue to work. Yes, I can work hard because it's Christ propelling me. But I think the difference is our heart. Am I trusting in Christ or am I trusting in myself? So on the outside, it may look like two hardworking Christ followers. But on the inside, one of them is trusting in their efforts, and the other one is being renewed by Christ. And it's just the difference of your heart. That's why sometimes until the symptoms of burnout or failure show, we, even as a pastor, I might not see that. Because it looks the same for so long until it doesn't. But that's why we check our heart in these seasons and say, God, am I working in my power to open a door that you don't want me to go through, or is it something else? It's just, God, just have your way. I want to trust in who you are and allow you to do what you want to do in and through me. Because when we wait on the Lord obediently, we will find renewal. We're refreshed for the journey ahead, and we can run the race before us. And that's what God does in a season of waiting. He renews us and prepares us for what is ahead. And when you wait well and then enter into that season of rest, enter into that season of permission, provision, you look back and you're like, God, I am so grateful for that season, for what you taught me during that time, for how you formed me during that time, how you humbled me during that time. There will be a day when City View steps into a space and I and some others will probably weep and say, Lord, I can't believe that we're actually here. We're sitting in a space we didn't know existed or we've dreamed about or prayed about for years. And now you've gifted it to us. But I'm so glad I had to unpack that trailer in the hot July summer. I'm so glad I had to roll those Christmas trees to Main Event. And thank you in the name of Jesus for giving us a storage unit and a tiny office and all the other things that we have to do to be portable, whatever it is, because you molded me. You humbled me, and I wouldn't appreciate this space if I didn't go through this. And you've been in those seasons before. But if you waste your weight, you'll miss God. And I think that's what so many of us do. We waste a weight. So just ask yourself, what is God preparing you for? If you or us are in a season of waiting, what is he preparing you for? There's something he's preparing you to be a husband. If you're not married yet and you have that desire, he's molding you into what it should be like to be a godly husband or a godly wife. He's preparing you to be a father. He's preparing you to work full time. He's preparing you to be a better friend. He might be preparing you to pastor. Whatever in this season, what is God preparing you for? And you may not have like the title. You may not be able to name it and label it, but you're asking God, what are you preparing me for? And then ask yourself this, how are you preparing for what God has in store? So there's something God is preparing you for, but you also have to make sure that you're preparing well for what's in front of you. Preparation is all about that. It's God, I know you're doing something in me, but let me make sure I'm doing my part. This is the tension between like my responsibility and God's sovereignty. Yes, you have a plan for my life, but help me to lean into and trust you to refine and mold in me who you want me to be. And so I think some final points of application, don't rush God. Like, do not rush God. Don't rush your weight. Don't just endure it. Just trust in his timing. Lean into his strength and allow God to do what he wants to do. Live open-handed. Maybe pray it like this, like, God, just do in me whatever you want. Have your way in this season. And as in Christmas, as we prepare for this coming of Christ, maybe just say, prepare my heart to receive him. Lord, what if Jesus were to come back today, would I be ready? For some of you, maybe receive Christ for the first time. So whether it be for the first time or when God comes back to make all things right, we think about Christmas as provision, him entering the world and changing it forever. We have to prepare in our hearts to receive Christ. And so tonight, I just want you to think about that as we close. Is there something that God wants in your heart to do to be more prepared to receive him? Is there one of these ways, one of these steps you need to lean into? And maybe some of you are the first time, you're hearing the gospel and the good news, you're thinking about the coming of Christ, and you realize, like, there's a well that will never run dry, but you've never tasted it. And so you've only tasted fatigue because you've never tasted the goodness of who Jesus is. So just process what God is wanting to do during this season. And over these next several weeks, I want us to lean into that together and say, God, just use this Christmas season. Help me not just like get through it. Help me use this Christmas season of conforming to the image of your son. Father, I thank you for the opportunity we have to worship and reflect. Christmas season it's just a special time. It's a great time to think about the coming of Christ and his birth. It's a great time to spend intentional time with family and friends. It's a time where we celebrate generosity. We think about giving and serving and going and telling of the good news. Lord, during this season, it can also be chaotic. Our schedules get full, and sometimes we can miss the whole point of Christmas during this season. So just help us to be intentional, to seek you, to hear from you, and not to get so caught up in the chaos that we miss the whole point of what it's all about. And that's about you. So God, use this time each week to center us on the cross of Christ. Help us not to waste our weight, but to be conformed. So we look back, we're so grateful that we went through what we went through. We appreciate the hard times because we saw your provision through them. God, mold us and shape us. Help us to be malleable people, not hard-hearted, but softened before you. God, shape us into your image. We trust in you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.